Wow, I was expecting a chorus of praise the Lord, it's about time, hallelujah. But thank you for not saying that. It makes me feel better. But actually, maybe you'll say that when you hear, at least this time he's not wearing a beard. I would like to invite Nathan to come up here and hopefully this time not scare me.
No promises. Okay, thanks, Pastor Todd. Well, good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to share with you again in this way. As our family, I was just sharing, talking some with between services, and this is a unique time for our family in the States. Typically, when we're back in the U.S., we're traveling all over as a family, and if we are in any given area for an extended period of time, we're usually at several different churches. And so all that to say, this is a unique opportunity for our family to be planted in one church for a bit, and we are grateful for it. We've been blessed and encouraged being with you all. And one of those blessings is being able to share God's word with you. So thanks to Pastor Todd and all of you. We want to open up to Deuteronomy 5 and continue in the series on the Ten Commandments that we've been going through. And I think it was up there on the screen. We'll read it as well. I don't have other slides. Yeah, you can put it up there if you want, Pastor. Thanks. So, Commandment 5, honor your father and mother, and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. And we'll look at that this morning. But as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 5, you know, one thing, as I begin, and as I was preparing for this, I'm mindful of my I guess, really intrigued by various cultures, intrigued by how we see different things playing out, truths of God's word and truths of just our existence as humans being played out in different cultures, including the idea of sin, right? And the reality that in response to sin, humanity, there's many things. There's the idea of guilt, there's the idea of shame, and there's the idea of fear. Those are three of the major key ones. And we see that those three elements get played out in different cultures along with their corresponding positive attributes. Guilt, and you have innocence or righteousness. Those are paired together. Shame, you have paired with, any guesses there? It's with our commandment today. Honor, right? And then fear and power are often paired together. And so in different cultures, we see those things manifested. For example, here in the West, in the U.S., and most Western cultures have this guilt / innocence or righteousness paradigm that we think of sin, our relationship with God, right? We're guilty before God and we need to be forgiven. We have something done wrong against us and we seek justice. And so that's dominant in our culture. In other cultures, majority cultures, a lot of Eastern cultures, particularly Thailand, where we've spent the past 12 plus years of our lives, you have more of the honor-shame dynamic at play, right? And so there, rather than individualistic, it's a collectivistic culture. And you see things being played out where people are placing high value on society and how my actions don't just impact me, but the rest of the people around me. And so I want to do things that bring my family and community and even my nation honor rather than shame them. And then, of course, there's the fear power one as well. We see that in a lot of cultures that are animistic, the belief in the spirit world. And there's a fear of what these spirits are going to do. And the desire then is to have power over them and to manipulate them. But I'm really concerned about that second one today, honor and shame, because this very command that we're looking at speaks to that, where it says, honor, verse 16 of Deuteronomy 5, honor your father and your mother as the Lord Yahweh your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. See, because we live in a culture and a society that we know and talk about honor, and yet it's not really the primary lens which we view different things, especially our relationship with God. We tend to think more in terms of the guilt, righteousness, right? And yet here, as God has spoken to Moses, and as Moses is again giving the law to the people of God of Israel, it's a culture, it's a setting, it's a society in which honor and shame took the forefront, and how people viewed life and their relationship with God and their life in society and all of those things, those were very highly important values, the idea of honor. Incidentally, Scripture looks to all three of these as well, right? Even if we were going back to the Garden of Eden and see man's original sin, what did Adam do? Well, we know he was guilty, right? Because he broke the commandment of God. He's no longer innocent. But then what did he do after that? Anybody remember? Okay, he was ashamed because he hid himself and went and hid when they heard the voice of the Lord in the garden. And he was also afraid. He says that, I'm afraid because we heard your voice. So we see all of those human reactions to sin being played out there. And encouragingly, the gospel speaks to all of those. And we'll get there in a few moments. The fifth commandment, we read it already, let's read it again. Verse 16, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Let's just pray. Father, as we seek to understand this portion of your word, this commandment, really focusing on it, but not in isolation, because we want to see it in the whole context of your revealed word to us. Father, we pray that you would be our teacher this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who is in those of us who believe, will instruct us, will apply your word to our lives, if necessary, convict us, but draw us to yourself. And that by the power, God, of your Spirit, your grace, your word, that we would be transformed more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. So, this fifth commandment, as we pointed out already, Israel, an honor-shame culture. Honor was important. The idea of honor flowing upward from those here, in particular children, to their parents, right? And this is, we also bear in mind just some contextual help here. This is what, Deuteronomy, the second time that Israel's receiving this law, right? They've heard this before. And I know Pastor Todd's been going through the series, and so some of this is review. But back in Exodus, we can read these things in the first place. And now, Deuteronomy, the second law, right? Here it is again. Remind, this is what's taking place. And it's interesting when we see that, the impact of that for those that were hearing it. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord has commanded you, that it'll go well. Who's hearing this? Israel, right? But more specifically, who's hearing this? Was it the same crowd that was there at Mount Sinai back in Exodus chapter 20? Remember what happened in Numbers, right? In Numbers, they didn't go in to take the land as God commanded them. They were afraid. They chose fear over faith, trusting in God. And so what was the consequence of that? It's Numbers 14. If you want to look at it particularly, it's verse 26 through 35. We can take time to read it. What was the consequence of them not going in? Somebody can sum it up. Go, keep going. You know, for the next 40 years, you're going to be wandering. And this whole generation is going to die off, isn't it? So it'll be your sons and daughters that enter the land. And now here's Moses at the end of his life giving the second, not second edition, but again giving the law to them, reminding them, these are the things God says. At the end of Deuteronomy, we see Moses' death, right? And then Joshua and Caleb, actually, the only two from that previous generation that entered because they were faithful. And so I'm wondering as I read this, if this is hitting particularly hard for these Israelites who are saying, yeah, but it's mom and dad's fault that we've been wandering around for the past 40 years. It's mom and dad's fault that we weren't born in that promised land and being raised up. And Moses says, honor your father and mother as God's commanded you. Huh, something to chew on, right? And I think it will come into play later as we think about our lives as well. But keep that in mind. So let's talk about the focus of this commandment. Already we've said it has that idea of honor from lower up to higher, the whole culture of honor and shame that this is surrounded in. It's interesting that as we look at the Ten Commandments, up until this point, they've really been vertical in nature, haven't they? Commandments 1 through 4, dealing with idolatry, worshiping only God. The Sabbath. What's the other one? Sabbath was the one we missed. We weren't here last week. Oh, not taking the Lord's name in vain, right? These things that are primarily this way. And now a shift, and it's this way. These are the laws of society within the nation of Israel. The moral laws that affect that. And interestingly, where do they begin? Right? We have verse 17, don't murder. You shall not commit adultery. Verse 18, not steal, not bear false witness. Right? So there's other things that would also apply across the board. And yet where God begins is family unit. Children, mom and dad. I think that's also instructive. Because as we go back and again return to Eden, we see God establishing marriage. We talked at a great, very interesting discussion about that in Sunday school. If you weren't here, you missed out on that. That was fun. But we start with marriage and then the family. And so we see that God, if he's going to form a strong nation, right, a people of God, the nation of Israel, it has to start with godly families. It has to start with a godly relationship between parents towards their children. And, incidentally, children toward the parents and also parents to their children. And parents aren't off the hook either because we go over one chapter and there's instructions for how parents are to instruct their children in the Lord, right? And yet this is concerned with going this way toward the parents. And so we see all of that together. And I believe the same is true today. That as we look at our church family, as we look at our wider community and society and town and even nation, a lot of the different results, consequences, what have you, whether it be positive or negative, start at home, start among the family unit that God has ordained. And these things, commandments such as this that govern that. And so, this command here is calling Israel to do something. Honor your father and your mother. The word there is so neat to me. I love words. I play words with friends and crossword puzzles, and my wife thinks it's hilarious when I mispronounce a word or I don't know what a word means, because she says, oh, you like words. And it's like, yeah, that's true. And so that's humbling. But I love words. And this word honor, it comes from a word that means heavy, or to be weighty, right? It's the idea that the Israelites, the children, are to honor their father and mother. They're to give weight to their parents, to grant a person in position respect and even authority over their life, all right? You're in charge, the idea of honor. You have the weight, the high respect, the prize, the value, and then resultingly the obedience. And so honor is what? Honor is a matter of the heart. And yet it ought to, if there's true honor in our heart toward those in authority, namely the parents in this case, then honor will result in words, attitudes, behaviors, actions that reflect that. And so this is what God is calling Israel to do. This command recognizes, calls Israel to recognize that God has given authority to the father and mother within the family. And so honoring one's parents is really honoring God himself. That God desires that we honor our parents because he's placed them in authority over us, all right? And by honoring them, we honor him, and we learn how to honor God, how to live in obedience to God. And so honor begins with that attitude of the heart. It's shown in the words and action. Obedience honors, disobedience dishonors, right? Pretty straightforward. And so, when it comes to this being lived out, children honoring their father and mother meant listening to their instruction. I already mentioned the parents' responsibility in chapter 6. We see some of that. Let's just look at chapter 6 and verse 2. We'll begin in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Now, this is a commandment, the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Right? That verse, along with another three or four within the book of Deuteronomy, echo the second part of the command back in chapter 5, verse 16, right? That your days may be prolonged, it may go well with you. Well, specifically because if children did not honor their father and mother, let's go back to Exodus. We just got to read this. Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. This is God's word. Exodus 21 and verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put in time out. No. Shall surely be put to death. Okay? And of course, that cursing would be a result of not honoring them, right? Whew. Boy, there's some heavy consequences for this. And so we come to this command given in Exodus, given again in Deuteronomy, and we see, wow, this is no joke here when it comes to honoring the father and mother. And we think, well, how did Israel do with this? Well, we know we can see a myriad of examples throughout Old Testament history and stories, and by that I mean true stories, by the way. I just wanted to, because I know stories can conjure up, oh, it's a fairy tale. I mean true stories, so I'll put that disclaimer in there. When we see throughout those accounts in the Old Testament, we see many examples of parents not being honored. But I want to turn to one in particular, because this then begins to touch on the problem. The command, it's pretty simple there, the instruction, but let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Because I believe this is where we see how does this play out in Israel's history? How does it play out with you and me? We're getting there as well. But in Matthew chapter 15, and beginning in verse 1, I want us to read through verse 9. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat bread." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.'" Right? We just read those verses. "But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you, that's been given to God. He is not to honor his father and his mother.' And by this, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" So what's going on here? Right? There were those who would, as an excuse, as a way out of really showing honor to their parents, and implicitly what? Honoring them by providing for them, actual physical, financial means, saying, "Oh, no, I've given that to God, so I can't really take care of you, Mom, Dad. I'm sorry. It's been, offered as worship." And Jesus cuts right through that and looks at their heart and says, "You guys, this is lip service to God. You honor me with your lips. Your hearts are far from me. This isn't about that at all." And he calls them out on that they have truly, actually dishonored not only their parents, but in effect, dishonored God himself through these actions. I say, wow, Israel, man, Pharisees, you guys are messing up. Well, we're not off the hook. Jump over with me to Romans chapter 1. And as Paul begins this wonderful discourse on, I mean, that Romans is, he starts here with humanity in general. And in Romans chapter 1, I want us to start in verse 18. Well, we see the wrath of God revealed against heaven. Verse 21, I want us to read. For even though they knew God, they did not, what? Glorify or honor him, some translations say. They did not glorify or honor him as God or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. All right? And so here we see, whoa, humanity has not honored God. And specifically, how have they done that? All right, we're connecting some dots here. We jump down to chapter or verse 28 of the same chapter. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossipers, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to... Oh, what's that doing in that list? Those are some really bad things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but give hearty approval to those who practice them. Here's the problem. The law is clear. Honor your father and mother. Our sin is also very evident. We do not honor our parents. And that's not to say we'd never honor our parents, but rather to say we are also guilty of breaking this commandment, of dishonoring our father and our mother. Paul says something similar to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want us to turn there as well, as these all really tie together nicely. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and starting in verse 1, Paul's warning Timothy. And he says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All right? And here the real scary thing is, unlike Romans where it's talking about general world population, here Paul says, hey, in the church, this is what's going to happen. And so even among those who have heard the good news of Jesus and are called to that life of obedience to God, including honoring father and mother and obedience to parents, out of dishonor comes disobedience in that list as well. This is a sorry state of affairs, not only for the nation of Israel, but also for us. As Pastor Todd has well pointed out every Sunday going through this series, we're looking at the law, the Ten Commandments, that was given to the nation of Israel. And as he's well reminded us, we, the church, the body of Christ, now on this side of the cross, and by God's grace and revelation of that to us, we are not under the law, right? We are not under those commandments as if by saying, oh, if we just live up to these, then we'll attain this right standing with God. No. In fact, as we look at it, that was never really the point of the law in the first place, was it? But to show mankind their sin. And so we can say, well, yeah, but we're under grace, right? And that's true. And yet the fact remains. We've done a shameful thing. We've been disobedient in this area. But thank God that we are under God's grace because the gospel answers this question. The gospel solves this problem. Just as the gospel speaks to our guilt, it speaks to the shame of not honoring our father and mother. It speaks to the shame of what that would look like, not only in an immediate family context, but within a church body or within a larger society. The gospel speaks to that. And for that, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 15. Because I believe this is a key parable that Jesus tells that helps us understand a little bit more about how does that work out in our lives. See, because even though we are under grace, we are still commanded, the church, the body of Christ, to honor our father and mother, to obey our parents, right? It's right there in Paul. We didn't turn there, but if you're taking notes, Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2, Colossians 3, 20. Still, Paul says there, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Just as it says, honor, and then he quotes back from the law, Exodus, Deuteronomy. It's the first commandment with a promise, Paul says. So we're still in that, but so the question then comes, how does that work out? In Luke chapter 15, we have this story that Jesus tells that you're probably familiar with. It's referred to often as what? The prodigal son, right? I don't know who first, you know, made that decision and put it on the heading above chapter or verse 11. It's not a bad title as titles go, but I wonder if it might be more aptly titled The Father's Love. See, because it tells of a prodigal son, but it also tells of a very proud and stubborn son. And it tells the story of how both of those dishonored the father. The prodigal, most obviously, as he asked for the inheritance from his dad before he died. Whoa, dad, you're as good as dead to me. That's dishonor. Runs off, lives a riotous life, wastes all that money in sinful things. That's dishonorable. Finally comes to his senses, says, oh, what am I doing here? About to eat this pig slop. My father has hired servants that live better than this. I'll go back to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And as he's coming, he's still a long way off, the father sees him and does what? The father runs to him. And he begins this plea and says, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your servant or your son. I've sinned against you in heaven. But before he can even complete it, dad says, hey, look, my son who is dead is alive. He's lost, he's found. Bring the best robe. Go kill the fattened calf. Bring rings and put them on his fingers. We're going to celebrate. By the way, running to meet his son, that was a shameful act. Men of honor don't hike up their cloak and run. See what's happening here? In this story of the father's love, oh, and the older son too, goes on, he dishonored the father. Why? He doesn't come to the party the dad's thrown. He speaks pretty mean things. You look at what you've done. I've been here the whole time. Prideful and stubborn. Different approaches. One is arrogant, thinking, look, I'm all that. The other, okay, but they've both dishonored him. But look at what happened here in this story. The father not only bears the dishonor from both sons, but lovingly responds, enters, you know, the shameful act of running and receiving back this son. What? And of course, the father represents who? Our heavenly Father, God. And so we see here in this story that a father ultimately points to God. He is compassionate and merciful despite his sons, both of their treatment of him. And he responds in love. And so this forces us, as we look at this commandment and look at our responsibility to fulfill it, first to look to Christ. Because Jesus here has not only saved us through his death and resurrection, but the reward and the honor that is due him and him alone, he now shares with you and with me. What? That is good news. And so out of that position of that we have of believers in Jesus Christ graciously, by God's grace, being in part sharing the honor of Christ as He's welcomed us as His children into His family. We are not only recipients of God's great forgiveness, but we are restored in a right relationship with Him. And so we look to Jesus. We look to Him, how He honored His heavenly Father in His own life, how He as a boy and man honored His earthly father and mother, how the Father has glorified Jesus. Out of His grace, we are transformed, and we can honor our own father and mother. See, Jesus saves us from the sin of dishonoring our parents through His death and His resurrection. He's paid the penalty of that sin and all the other sins. And He places us in that right relationship with God by His grace, the power of the Spirit. He enables us to live in a way that we can honor our father and mother. The gospel, the good news of Jesus alive in you and me. So let's talk just for a few moments maybe about, the brass tacks, right? How does this really apply then? What's this look like? All right. Well, understanding that here's a law, we've broken it. Jesus is the only solution for that. And not only our Savior, but then the empowering us to live right lives in this way. So how might that look? Well, I would encourage you to seek the Lord on that. I would encourage you to ask those hard questions and saying, God, are there ways that I am not showing honor to my own father and mother? Are there ways that, God, you want to, through your grace in me, demonstrate the same love and compassion and mercy and honor to them that, yeah. But here's a couple suggestions as well. This isn't an extensive list, but some ideas. For children, those that are still in the home, young people even, sort of, you know, that in between, you know, there's the reality of simply obeying. There's a reality of saying, hey, I'm respecting and obeying my parents. I'm listening to them as they speak God's word to me. You know, Proverbs 1, 8 and 9 says, my children, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. And so, there's that. I'm not a child anymore, so I'm off the hook. No. Honor father and mother. I believe this was for all of our lives as well. And so as adults, it gets a little trickier, right? And we say, well, what do we do with that? Well, here's some suggestions. We honor our parents by forgiving them. You're a really good parent until you have kids, right? And then you realize, whoa, I'm making the same, no perfect parent. So as I look to my parents and I think, oh, what about that? Okay, there's a forgiveness for them. Speaking well of them, not evil of them. Whether that's to your spouse, to your own kids, to others. Esteeming your parents publicly and privately. So it's not just speaking well, but giving honor to whom honor is due. Seeking their advice. If they're in a stage of life, providing for them. Again, some suggestions. As you seek the Lord, I'm sure that God will also speak to your heart in that as well. But this is our desire, that we might honor our father and mother. And I just will close with just this idea that there are times, and there's a question of, well, what about if I'm wanting to honor them, but they're wanting me to do things God says is no. You know, what if by honoring them, I'm dishonoring God? Well, if it comes to it that they're... that question comes a lot working with children, right? Who's ever worked with Awana kids or Sunday school kids, and they say, honor mom, dad, but what if they tell me to sin, right? Which I think is very creative and funny and maybe just a way, an excuse that kids don't have to obey their parents. I don't know, but sometimes that does happen, I suppose, okay? And then we say, okay, we need to obey God over man. But oftentimes, we're put in positions, and I'll just share this closing story that relates to that. a story of a Thai young person who came to Christ somewhere along high school, university probably, and was burdened then in knowing Christ to share that with her Buddhist parents. And Thai is one of those collectivistic societies like we're looking at in Scripture here, and they, shame and honor and all that. And so she said, how can I do this? And so she began praying at mealtimes out loud. And she said, thank you, God, for this food that you've provided for me. And it really irritated her mom, because she said, why are you thanking this God for the food? I'm the one who made the meal, right? And so advice, praying for wisdom, not quite sure how it came about, but she changed her prayers and said, God, still praying out loud, God, thank you for my parents that you've blessed me with who provide this food for me to eat. Her parents liked that prayer, right? So what am I saying with that? If you're in that tough position, then pray for wisdom. Be encouraged. And again, going back to the nation of Israel, God's commandment wasn't, oh, if your parents have done something that has been really hard and terrible and caused you to wander in the wilderness for 40, oh, don't worry about that. No. It's across the board. And by God's grace, he helps us to live in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth not only of seeing in your word what is good and right and holy, but also, Father, the grace and mercy that comes in the gospel. And that you love us enough that even when we are rule breakers, and we are, God, you restore us through Jesus Christ. I would pray that if there's even one here this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that if they've been trying to live in a right relationship with you by just doing what's right and not able to really do that, I pray that God today would be the day of salvation for that individual, that they would place their faith and trust in Christ alone and be saved. And Father, for those of us that are believers, please encourage, empower, strengthen us to live in such a way that reflects and demonstrates your grace and your love to the world around us, we pray. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen.